Okay, I'm going to record one of the goddess stories, and please ignore the background noise. It's very nice outside, and I don't want to waste the nice weather, so my sliding glass door is open. Pay attention now, my little plaything. You're very lucky, you know. I'm going to tell you a little story I'm rather fond of. I think you'll enjoy it. I love bathing. It feels like a little bit of rebirth, and it always felt nice to clean the blood of my victims off my skin. My boots, stained with blood and gore, always stand in stark contrast to my clean flesh whenever I go into battle, but I enjoy that. I want to let the fools about to perish see the remains of the armies I've crushed, and realize that they too will end up as nothing more than bloodstains. And so, one fine day, at a little creek, I wash myself, the dried blood of armies being cleansed from my soft skin and flowing away with the current. I enjoy bathing so much that, I must confess, I hadn't noticed my foes spotting me. I was unaware that a scout sent ahead by a massive army of men seeking revenge for their slaughtered brethren had returned to his lord and told him that he had found me, naked and vulnerable, by a stream. Had I known a man had seen me nude, I would have captured him and reduced him to an unrecognizable pile of meat and bones. And as if one man seeing me nude was not enough of an unforgivable crime, you can imagine my wrath when the army at his back appeared over the hills. My desire to take the lives of men is limitless, and one man seeing me that vulnerable, that exposed, was an insult to my honor that made my craving for the blood of lads uncontrollable. But having an army of millions of men see me like that was enough for me to drive me to new heights of brutality. They all had to die. It's the very least they deserved. It never ceases to amaze me how foolish these men were when it came their time to face me. Their time to die. They still polished their weapons and their armor. They still raise their battle cries. And they always bring their banners, as if any of that mattered when they fell beneath my cold butchery. I do so enjoy the banners, though. They're symbols of mankind's pride, of their courage and strength. And they always fall, broken, tattered, and bloodstained beneath my feet, just like the soldiers who rallied to them. First came the gallant shining knights, trying to mask their shame and needed to bring so many soldiers to fight a single naked woman. No, not a woman. I'm a goddess. Horses will not come near me, so the doomed little boys had to advance on foot. Knights in shining armor, my favorite, just like every other girl. But unlike most girls, I like knights because there's so much fun to butcher. And these splendid lads obliged me, marching into my blade like lambs to the slaughter. In a heartbeat, I was amongst them, my blade rising and falling, cleaving through flesh and muscle, meat and bone. Brave men screamed in horror and agony as their young lives ripped away from them in a torrent of blood and pain. They cowered behind their shields and shook with fear in their heavy armor. I carved through them, relishing their dread. Nameless, faceless lumps of fodder, that was what they were, and that's how they died. Their strong young backs provided a marvelous stage for me as I worked a horrific slaughter on the unceasing waves of men. Limbs, heads, and torsos piled up and formed mountains that rose from the ocean of butchered carcasses. Blood flowed in rivers. Amidst the miserable heaps of slaughtered lads, there were broken weapons and tattered banners, stains with the blood of men who had died trying to defend them. One such banner was defended by thousands upon thousands of young bucks, their bodies piling higher and higher as they swarmed to keep me from it. I captured the banner and held it in one hand, effortlessly slaughtering entire brigades that tried to reclaim the worthless scrap of male pride. In the end, their efforts proved futile and the charges stopped. I wiped the blood from my heaving bosom with their little flag, leaving it soaked and shredded among the brave young fools as a final humiliation. Having cast aside the banner, I took a moment to savor my victory and stood triumphant upon a huge mound of butchered young men. Looking down on the lads who were scaling a mountain of their dead comrades, I couldn't help but be amused. Their eyes were full of so many conflicting emotions. Fury, lust, terror, anticipation, and outrage. I just laughed and smiled, my blade ending it all, their miserable little lives amounting to nothing but another part of this monument to my glory. I looked forward to returning to it years later and beholding the immense mountain of bones and armor that would soon be left behind. Once I was pleased with the size of the mountain of corpses, I descended once more into the thick of the army, felling men left and right. Sauntering through the ranks, I took my time butchering them in detail. I skewed men on my blade, hacked through them like foliage, and even used my bare hands, snapping necks and breaking men's bones. I tore splendid, muscular boys apart effortlessly, my hands slick with the blood and viscera of countless soldiers. Lucky men all, but luckier still were the ones who felt my hips or breasts brush up against them before I claimed their miserable little lives. Unflinchingly, I approached a soldier. My gaze fixed onto him, he froze, even as the rest of the army backed away, the clearing in the middle of the great sea of men in which we stood growing as terrified fodder stepped away. My prey, however, stood slack-jawed and in awe of me. I grabbed him by the throat and threw him down, sending him sprawling on top of the slain troops that blanketed the earth. I stood over him, looking down on him like a piece of meat. That was precisely what he was to me. His whole life had been training for battle, all 20 or so years of it. It all led up to this moment. And now his entire life had proved to be a waste as he found himself on the receiving end of my violence. I poised my blade. The lad realized in horror what was going on and tears welled up in his eyes. He must have wondered why no one was helping him. But the rest of the army was frozen with terror and lust, entranced by my beauty. He begged for mercy, begged me to stop. "Please, m'lady," he whimpered hoarsely. My gaze remained steady and unflinching, even as I thrust my blade into the bastard's loins. That spurred something from another young man who must have been a friend of the newly emasculated soldier that lied dying at my feet. Pulling the sword from the gory mess that had once been my victim's groin, I effortlessly skewered the onrushing youth as he charged me. He gasped, blood pouring from his mouth. I plunged the blade in deeper as I drew towards him. I got close to the impaled lad, close enough to kiss. My nipples, erect from the pleasure I derived from the slaughter, were brushing up against the man's chest. Our lips nearly touching, and my eyes fixed intently on him. I coldly whispered, "Meat," into the helpless fool's ear. I pulled my blade out of his gut and he sank to his knees, his blood spilling out in a delightful torrent. "Mercy," he gasped, "please spare me." But I've never spared a man, especially one who had dared to look at me nude. Even as he blubbered like an infant, I picked up a warhammer dropped by a slain knight and pulped the whimpering lad's skull. The confidence of the rest of the horde was wavering after that display, but they neared me and got a good look at me. Their morale worsened even more. If I had less respect for myself, I would be well off fighting nude all the time. Still wet from the water, my blood-stained curves exposed, no man could resist my allure. The army stopped in its tracks, and the soldiers basked in the glory that was the naked goddess that stood before them. I decided to have some fun with the hammer I had claimed. Countless youths died under my onslaught. Skulls and bones and genitals were crushed beneath my new toy. The boys begged me for mercy, called me a goddess, and pleaded for my forgiveness. I laughed lustfully as I destroyed their fools, delighting in the fact that many of the faces I crushed were soaked in tears. As the slaughter continued and men had to trudge through miles of mutilated corpses to reach their doom, they began to realize the futility of their lives. Many ceased resisting, weeping and sobbing and begging like the insects they were. They fell to their knees pleading, but all they received was my blade and my hammer, their sole comfort being the smile on my beautiful face, the rise and fall of my gore-soaked breasts as I hewed through them, slight moans of ecstasy escaping my lips as I butchered the poor boys. Before long, the pigs had been made to pay for the daring to gaze upon my exposed form. I made sure to save one last man, a helpless militiaman, till the very end. I wanted to punctuate my destruction of this army with a very personal, very sadistic kill. The poor wretch trembled before me, cowering under my gaze. "On your back," I said to him, my voice absolutely irresistible to the lad. Too afraid to fight and too stupid to know I had never left men alive, he obliged me. I straddled him and watched with amusement as he began breathing frantically as my bare, blood-soaked body pressed into him. He didn't notice me take the dagger off of his belt. He was so enthralled by my beauty that he hardly even noticed when I cut his ears and his nose off. He felt a little sting when I cut out his tongue, but it wasn't until he was deprived of his view of me, after I sliced his eyeballs open to the tip with the tip of the blade, that he fully understood what had happened to him. He tried to scream a terrible sound through the blood that choked his tongueless mouth as I carved up his face and mutilated his chest. He just groaned when I split his belly open the way a fisherman guts a catch. It wasn't until I brought the pummel of my sword down on his manhood and turned it to mush that he grasped the full scope of the agony I had inflicted upon him. At long last, the battle was over. Piling up a collection of torsos, limbs, and heads, I made myself a throne. I seated myself upon the broad, strong back of a handsome boy I had left largely intact above the waist. I sheathed my sword in the belly of a wounded peasant, listening happily to his cries as I relaxed, lazily running my fingers through the hair of some dead young bucks whose head I'd picked out to amuse myself. The leaders of the army lay massacred at my feet, their valiant hosts now a heap of rotting meat. I watched the mutilated trooper die from my seat upon that file of slaughtered lads. Idly, I played with that pitiful scrap that had once been a regimental standard, before using it to wipe myself clean, sighing contentedly as the screams of the mortally wounded filled the air. I stretched out across my throne of butchered muscle and slept as peacefully as a baby. The screams of dying men lullabied me. Speaking of dying men, I'm very impressed you lasted through all that. Most men would have bled out from that wound by now. I knew I made a good choice when I picked you for my story time. But now it's time for you to good boy and die. It's really all you men are good for.